What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 29th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
It cracks me up that to this day, there will still be, every 3 months, there's a thread or so on the Reddit that's just like, the subreddit, that's just like, did everyone else think that for years he's been calling him Pier 1,
Pier
Tim
one.
Geddes?
The Pier 1,
like you always shopped at Pier 1?
Yeah, no. Been there twice in my life.
An old reference. Some would say maybe it's time to change his moniker. I disagree, and I refuse to do it. Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every day, we delve deep into the world of video game news, talk it out with you, answer your questions that you've submitted over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and we have a good old time. Remember, if you're one of the people watching us record this live on Twitch, you can tell us what we screw up as we screw it up by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Remember, we don't interact with the chat while we do it, because this goes up as a podcast over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Remember, no matter where you consume the show, it would mean a lot to me personally if you went to the other platforms and subscribed there, rated there, did whatever you have to do to make sure this new fledgling podcast finds a way. More housekeeping for you. Remember, next week, no Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's 4th of July. Danny's still over in Europe. Andrea's going to be in Chicago, then Europe, then I'm going to be in Missouri, which is like Europe, a whole bunch of things happening. Then we go to RTX, come see me Thursday night for the heel kick screening, and of course we have our panel Saturday during RTX. Check us out in Austin.
That's true. We have a whole bunch of panels going on. There's other stuff,
but those are the main things to remember. All right, those are the kind of funny things. I'm not going to promote this screw attack business, this game attack business.
It's going to be the best panel of the show.
It's going to be something.
Guarantee
it. It usually is a train wreck, and we're very, very
drunk. If you're
not
there, it'll be live. I don't know exactly where, but somewhere on Twitch, Rooster Teeth or RTX's Twitch. Find it. Look at our Twitter accounts. It's going to be a fun time.
Okay.
Saturday.
But for now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. There are two items on the Roper Report this week.
The
Baker's Dozen. Okay. Well, let me finish saying it before you do it.
Sorry, well, you said two items. I was worried. I didn't want you to like move on.
You're learning how to do the Baker's Dozen. I appreciate that. It's something I'm handing to you.
I'm a Baker's apprentice.
Andrea won't do it.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't asked her. She just doesn't. You know, she knows I like to yell Baker's Dozen, I think, so she lets me.
Got it.
Our first piece of the Roper Report comes from GameSpot. They had an interview with Mike Jones, of course, from Marvel Games.
Who?
Friend of the show. Mike Jones.
Who? Sorry. It was a rap joke.
Okay. I don't understand the rappers. Mike Jones from Marvel Games and how he wants to work with indies. There's an interview about a whole million different things, but it's an interesting Marvel Games one. Here comes the quote. They ask him, you know, do you want to work with indies one day? And Mike says, oh, absolutely. We're looking at mobile and we're looking at VR. Of course, Insomniac is an independent studio, but in terms of the smaller scope you suggest, absolutely. I think from a strategy and portfolio standpoint, we're making sure to get our big behemoth set up first. We have our live service games, mobile games, and big console games. But once all of those tent poles are established, I think that our next step would be to create smaller, interesting, indie-made games. I'm not announcing a new game, but as an example, Scotty Young's artwork would be a perfect match for a fun indie game. Do you know what he's referencing there?
Scotty Young?
Yeah. No. I meant to look it up, but I ran out of time. There are all these little things that we think about and we're eager to look into. Of course, we have a smaller team with limited time and resources, so we're more focused on the big and important stuff first. But absolutely, the independent space is where so much creativity in publishing has come from. So many writers have taken their shots at Frank Miller's Daredevil and reinventing that. Reinterpreting characters over the years is what has made so many Marvel characters and stories great. We absolutely want to carry that philosophy into gaming, which is a space that has had such rapid experimentation and strong artistic vision. Tim, what do you take away from that?
I love everything about this.
Right.
Big fan of Marvel superheroes, as we all know.
Of course.
Big fan of indie games.
Right.
Big fan of quality indie games specifically.
Sure.
And I feel like we've gotten so many of those over the last decade that at this point, when you refer to indie games, you're probably talking about the quality ones that people think of, not just the fact that you're an independent developer making a game.
Right.
You know? To me, this immediately jumps out. There's a whole bunch of heroes that don't necessarily need giant AAA open world games, and that excites me.
Well, I mean, for me, before we jump into that part of the I think equation we're talking about, is the fact that this is the continuation of Marvel Games doing everything right. When we went and saw Age of Ultron at that private screening, and they introduced Bill, and they introduced Mike, and we got to talk to them, and they came out and said, we're the new Marvel Games team. we are doing something here that hasn't been done before, and that's treating these properties with the respect they deserve and teaming up with great developers. And at the time, we were like, is it just lip service? Because they just announced we're going to work with Telltale. They didn't say Guardians. They didn't have anything to show. But since then, Telltale Guardians, which I have my issues with, but people are working on, and that's great. Insomniac Spider-Man, awesome. Crystal and the Avengers, fantastic. Like, you see these things happening where it's like, okay, cool. They're taking top-tier talent and putting them with their top-tier franchises, characters, and things. To think about having that established. Oh, thank you so much. We're getting the Scotty Young art pulled up over
awesome.
Here.
Oh, awesome. Cool. You did all the variant covers for the Marvel as like little kids cutesy. Sure.
If you can, Kevin, show that to the audience while we talk about it a little bit to make a little more sense of Mike's quote there. To see them do so much right there, to be so excited for what they are announcing, what they are doing, you know, I can't wait to see what this Avengers game, of course, is, but to have given our game of the show to Spider-Man, to know how great Insomniac is and to think about what they're going to do when they have this Spider-Man world to play with all to their own, of course, I can't wait to see how they're going to play it and what they're going to do with it. But then to start thinking about what would happen, right, once these tent poles are established, once Marvel Games has three hits under its belt, so not even hits, but like three big things under their belt, where do they go and where do they expand to?
I mean, so what's interesting there for me is that not only does that mean superheroes, but I also think it means genre of game. So when you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it took them, you know, kind of getting the big guys out to get Avengers done. And then once Avengers happened, then they could move on to the Doctor Stranges and the Ant-Mans of the world, right? I feel like when it comes to video games, that is true. But even more than that, it's like, okay, cool. You need the open world game. You need the mobile game. You need the, what do they call it now? Live gaming?
Live service
games. You need that stuff as the big these are the video game money makers to be able to kind of either take risks, do VR things, do smaller more passion-based titles, and I think that is what I'm excited about, not necessarily just different heroes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's different experiences, because that's what I personally, I think, in as fast as all this has happened, I hadn't thought about what kind of game do I want outside of a third-person action-adventure game with these superheroes, right?
What's interesting, we were talking about this, I think, yesterday. I don't remember if it was on the show or just over dinner or something. Yeah. But I was talking to my friend, Curran.
Yeah.
And he's a gamer, but he's not a like hardcore gamer. He is not
He's not reading IGN.
Exactly. No. He just plays games when he plays games. And he has his whole life. And he was like, oh, so what happened at E3? And I was like, oh, kind of giving him the whole update. And he was like, what's the most impressive game you saw? And I was like, oh, for us, it was between Mario Odyssey and Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. And he was like, Spider-Man. And I'm like, yeah, no, dude, it looks awesome. And he's just like, hasn't there been like a million Spider-Man games?
Right,
and I'm like, yeah, there totally has. But like, this is different. He's like, why? And I'm like, well, it's being treated with respect. And I tried explaining it all. And it sounds stupid to explain to someone that doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, but the people that get it, it's so obviously
you told
clear.
Me, right? You said Arkham. And he was like, oh.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, no. This is like it looks to be the Arkham of Spider-Man games.
Right.
And all of a sudden that became clear to him. He's like, oh, okay. I do get
that's there's, a light bulb there's moment, a difference right, when you understand that.
And that, like, hearing them talk about the indie games this way, I'm just like, yeah, I do totally buy it. Because so far they haven't really flubbed. I think the biggest flood they had was Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think that's more of a Telltale issue.
And that's debatable, too. I mean, like,
exactly.
Like, I'm not enjoying it. People are still playing it, I think. You know
exactly.
I mean? There's difference. I haven't checked on reviews, but they're not, like, tanking the reviews that I think I've seen. I think IGN's usually like, it's fine if you want to play this kind of thing. Patty C. wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Kind of funny. God damn it. Just like you can. To ask a question, it says, seeing that Marvel is working with indies, or planning to at least, what developer would you like to see Marvel team up with? Personally, I'd love to see Marvel pair up with the Behemoth and make a Castle Crashers style Avengers or X-Men game. Thoughts?
I mean, I love that.
That's the whole thing.
Fun.
I mean, like, when I sat down and started thinking about this, right, I immediately thought of, and this, stick with me, because I have a whole bunch of games, and go ahead and look ahead. I listed indie studios that I love and what they made, and I thought that might work. So, like, when I just rattled off stuff, I'm thinking Team Shifty, who just did Mr. Shifty, right? That is a Nightcrawler. Just give him
let's
Nightcrawler.
Just go.
You know what I mean?
Even if it's DLC.
Here's people I listed I think would be good fits in some way, right? Acid Nerve, they made Titan Souls. Arrowhead Studios made Helldivers. Cellar Door Games, Rogue Legacy. Jonathan Blow, of course, The Witness. Mm-hmm. Campo Santo, Firewatch. Denaton Games, Hotline Miami. And I'll just tell you what my pitch there is. Punisher. Just make a fucking Punisher game that's Hotline Miami. You know what I mean? And I think that works in a way that... When I think of indie, I'm thinking of smaller games, and then for me, at least to an extent, smaller characters. You know what I mean? Like, Spider-Man's going to be Insomniac. Avengers are going to be up here. Let's get into not the subgenre of Marvel, but the people who, like, Punisher people liked enough in Daredevil. Like, Punisher's always the suit, the shirt's iconic. That old fucking one where you put people in the wood chipper, people liked. Giving it to the people who did Hotline Miami and have them just, like, actually tell a little bit of story with it and go through and kill things from that top-down perspective.
I'm into that.
Now, granted, of course, I'm being very short-sighted. I'm taking and reskinning games that kind of already exist, but I know these are good developers, right? Double Fine. We're going to go back to these and what you'd want to do. Drinkbox, you know how much I love them. Of course, Guacamelee, Severed. And then Supergiant with Transistor, Bastion. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of good things going on here. Something that jumps out to me immediately is Firewatch.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Firewatch a lot. I love that style of game where it's kind of just world exploration, walking simulator, but it is just taking it all in. And immediately I jump to one thing, and that is the X-Men Mansion. And I feel like that would be super awesome to just kind of have a story. I say from the perspective of Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde, a good character to kind of just take on whatever she needs to and gets along with enough different characters and has relationships. But she's kind of young enough to be in the OGs, but old enough to be ahead of the super young ones.
Yeah.
And I think that would create a cool dynamic of have some mystery or some issue going on in the mansion and her going around figuring it out and talking to all the different characters. Of course, you'll get the cameos from a lot of the big guys, but then it also gives you the chance to interact with smaller, lesser known X-Men.
Sure. So you have her walk, because when you said it, Campo Santo, Firewatch, I'm thinking it's an abandoned X-Mansion. You want it filled with people and things to talk to.
I want it a little bit different. I want it to be less of a what genre is this game type experience and more of a it is about the character dynamics and learning. It's a what's going on, but you firmly know it's more of like a mystery. More of like a clue type situation.
For me personally, when I look at not only the idea of a, and this is kind of, I guess what I just said, right? Because I'm talking about, the big guys are getting taken care of up here or whatever. Coming down just in this argument, there has to be a space for Wolverine in this fucking place.
Yeah.
Because I've talked about it and I've beaten a dead horse, I know, but X-Men Origins Wolverine, while the story was shit, the gameplay was so awesome. And Raven was so great at making that game, and it sucks that they got taken and just put on Call of Duty by Activision. That's what they do now. There's something there. And I think that my hope would be for the AAA space that Marvel Games hears that and knows that. I'm sure, I mean, Bill and Mike aren't dumb. They actually play a ton of games. They've been in the industry forever. Everyone who played X-Men Origins Wolverine understands that there's something fucking radical there in terms of your fucking skin getting blown off and then growing back and you're tearing people up with your claws. And like, there needs to be, especially with the success of Logan, a rated M fucking AAA, here's this Wolverine thing, right?
That's awesome.
But even with the success of Logan, even with them building out this portfolio, even with all that stuff, right? Years away, years and years away. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I feel like there has to be some kind of, when we saw, you know, we're talking about that art style he just brought up, right? A 16-bitty indie game, side scroller, we're going through, we're little fucking squat Wolverine in the yellow, different suits, obviously, just tearing people fucking to shreds as you go.
So I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
I got some suggestions.
Lay it on me.
Because here's the thing. Raven's game, I agree with you. It was super fun. However, I don't think that Wolverine lends himself well to a third-person action game.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, In terms of just like a fairly straightforward beat 'em up, it's great.
Yeah.
And I feel like if that were the case, then give it to a Platinum in their prime or like a Devil May Cry style.
You want that kind of action?
Where it is a bit more action arcade-y, but with a high skill cap.
Yeah.
Where it's very combo focused.
Yeah.
That's when I think that you really find some happy space there.
Okay.
But what I think would be awesome is I like what you're saying about the 2D platformer, but we've seen that so many times back in the 16-bit era. I think that we take it a step further because what the mistake I think they made that made sense back then was that all those games were, or the majority of them were Streets of Rage style, where they're the side scrolling beat 'em ups, but it's like you weren't just moving left and right. You could also move on
up and down.
The planes.
Yeah,
no. That always felt cumbersome and it never felt right.
Okay.
And it limited your moveset, I thought.
Okay.
What I want is a Metroidvania Wolverine game.
Okay.
A bit more action focused in terms of melee combat. But you go through and then you can, I don't know exactly what abilities you'd be unlocking and stuff, but I feel like that there's a great opportunity to tell an awesome story on an indie scale and have it look super cool, but have it play and have the gameplay super tight and be fun and have all the things that you love about being Wolverine, be there. Yeah. And I think this because I know that my team in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 always would have Spider-Man and Wolverine. The fact that the game had two Wolverines, I'd have two.
Yeah.
Because I liked their combos and it felt right to me because the way those characters moved.
Sure.
And adding that type of play style to a Metroidvania game, I think would be a really interesting thing.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's something there, and that is actually very interesting. And I think you, in terms of what tech you're getting to get back, right? I mean, you know Marvel better than me, but there's a bunch of weird... Beast has made a bunch of weird technology in the X-Man. You know what I mean? Like, but then it all got unlocked down, and you're trying to get back and do stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I'd want.
All that stuff.
Because, I mean, it really depends on what the storyline would be. But if it would be, you know, going back to the whole him trying to get out of the... the base or whatever.
Oh, like
that,
Weapon X?
Yeah, like that could be interesting. But I feel like I would much rather something where it's like maybe if it wasn't tech that he was getting, but it was like the team, like different members of the team will help him with their powers or stuff in certain situations. I don't know. Could be interesting.
It's a similar thing to...
Ooh.
Oh, we got one? Go ahead. What's the light bulb moment over there?
Instead of the Metroidvania game being Wolverine, it's Rogue. And then Rogue takes different powers.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Round of applause for that one. Uh-huh. That was a good one. You got something going on there. I think I don't have a game here at all. But in terms of how much I love Costume Quest, that art style, that humor, I would take Double Fine and pair them up with Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
Kamala Khan or whatever. Yeah, if I'm pronouncing that correct, right? I love that book. That book is funny. That book is irreverent. That is her like, I'm a kid and I've always wanted to be a hero and I am a hero and this is great. And oh my God, selfies with Wolverine and Spider-Man, my first team up. Like that writing style, I think, would play into Telltale's strengths of like, hey, let's tell a really fun story about this. That doesn't even need to be, maybe it is action focused because I mean, her whole thing, right, is that she can get really big and change herself up, right? So it could be, again, just to ape what they've done before, something like Cosmic Quest, where it is exploring, talking to people in your hood, since that is such a big part of her story, and then going in and like, okay, you're fighting, and rather than it be in your mind the way you fight with your costumes, you go real big in and fight whoever you're fighting. What do you got? You got problems with this one?
No.
You're thinking of other things?
I like that. Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking of so I'm looking at Titan Souls.
Yeah. You want to know where I went with this one? And I'm sure you have. I want to hear yours as well. I went to an X-Men game where, hey, they have unleashed, I forget how many Titans were in Titan Souls. I think 4, 5, 6, whatever. They've unleashed 7 new Sentinels. And we each have to go off. They're all attacking mutants right now. So we all have to, 7 different X-Men, go off in different directions and do it. Mm. And so you fight one as Wolverine. You fight one as Cyclops. You fight, you know what I mean? That. And like maybe the Sentinels are, they're adapting on the fly kind of shit. Yeah. So like no matter who you go into, as the now the fight's incredibly different. You have to figure out how to do that.
I like that. I was going to go, and this is a little weird.
Okay. Oh, get weird. Get nasty.
Daredevil for Titan Souls.
Oh.
Where... What I'm taking from that is more the boss fight difficulty aspects and less the actual style of gameplay. Because what I'm thinking is I want it to be the challenge isn't so much the mechanics as much as it is the how do I take this guy down?
Yeah.
You know, and I think the whole being blind thing, big issue for Daredevil.
It is an issue he has to overcome.
So I feel like it's less the trying to figure out exactly the gameplay of it and more the what is it that I have to do to expose his weak spot.
Sure, that's the whole thing, right? Of treating like a classic video game boss battle where there is a weakness, but you have to get your ass kicked for a long time before you figure out what it is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff here.
There is a lot. We keep going back to X-Men. I think that's because X-Men have such a great location and cast of characters. Because also, and the Castle Crashers thing we're talking about, just the Danger Room itself.
Right.
There's so much that you can do just in that.
Yeah, super awesome. And, you know, that's a great point. And I want to call out, too, that in the GameSpot interview, Mike Jones referenced Defenders twice. And he referenced them in basically talking about like how they were working with Avengers and they were working with Spider-Man and on Defenders. So now there's no Defenders confirmed game, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Again, kindoffunny.com/hashtag you're wrong. But
again, going back to, I think the one thing that you and I differ on, and when we're saying all these things, it sounds like you don't differ with me at all, but I do think that it should just be the characters people care about. headlining these games, even as indie games, because I want those experiences from characters that I really like.
I know.
And of course, people like,
I don't think they're
going to
go so weird that it's like fucking Spider-Ham's game. Actually, he'll probably get a mobile game at one point. But like, it'll be great and funny and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go that in. But I think, like, to what I'm saying, with all due respect to the character, I think for right now, in terms of how many people know him and how many people love him, Miles Morales as an indie game makes more sense than, hey, and I think you're already seeing this with Insomniac, right? Hey, he's not the star of the Spider-Man game. Here's Peter. Here's his suit. Here's his thing. Here's this cool Easter egg of Miles. Mm-hmm. Are we going to play as Miles? Is Miles Spider-Man in this universe? Was that just a nod, a tip of the hat to us?
Yeah.
I think if you gave Miles a whatever, 60-bit side-scroller swinging around, what, you know what I mean? Beat him up, exploring thing, text game.
I don't know.
Let him discover his sexuality. Let Steve Gaynor write
it. I think the Miles thing that makes it difficult is the things that separate Miles from Peter. There's not much in terms of actual storylines and characterization of what he goes through, because it is just an excuse for the writers to do the original type of Peter's in high school storyline again,
powers
while Peter is able to be the fucking grown ass man that he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like if that were the case, it would have to be a story-based game.
I mean, the same thing here is I think Spider-Gwen could have some kind of cool indie thing. I'm just talking about characters that have a following. Comic fans like us love them, but I don't think you can make a Spider-Gwen AAA game and have people be like, whoa, yeah.
I mean, an interesting thing, like, going off that is I think Deadpool is the best Deadpool game we could possibly get.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and it was what it was.
Yeah.
Which is really good, but had its issues, right?
Sure.
So it's like, that's what I'm saying is I don't think all these characters would benefit from a third person action game. 100%.
I agree with that.
So it's like, I'm very interested by this idea that they could be partnering with these people, and we'll see what this actually turns into, but it's not indie at all, but I'd love to see a retro game of pretty much any Marvel platform. Yeah. I feel like that'd be fantastic.
I mean, I can't wait to see who Marvel Games teams with next. They've already teamed with people I love, Telltale, Insomniac, this Crystal stuff. Who will be the next people they team with? And will it be a AAA?
What if Retro is working on a Marvel game?
You heard
it
here first.
Totally could be.
Yeah, it could be, right? Number two on the Roper Report. We talked about this last time you were on, Tim. Now we have an update. 5-star, 1,000, top-rated, yanked from PSN. Eurogamer's reporting. You remember this thing I was talking about where this game promoted itself as the easiest platinum, get it in an hour, da-da-da-da. It's been yanked down. Not on Sony's watch, says Eurogamer. The company was quick to remove 5-star, 1,000, top-rated, and asked the developer to change the name of the game and remove any mention of trophies in the description. But the kerfluffle has once again brought into question Sony's lax certification of what a game actually is. In case you missed Tuesday's show, indie title 5-star, 1,000, top rated, advertised itself as the easiest platinum or easiest PS4 platinum trophy and claimed the feat could be done in just 20 minutes, which we didn't see in the official description I read, but I had seen that online. The game consisted of a series of interactive tile puzzles users could easily breeze through. On top of that, the game cost just 98 cents. It seems that the game was just a sly advertising ploy for the company's Facebook page, which coincidentally sells PlayStation 4 themes. The game itself just happens to make the tile puzzles out of the 4K wallpapers. Of course, we put up a whole thing of like trophies are more broken than ever. Jim fucking Sterling's son put up a video like playing it and being like, what the fuck is this garbage? But he did it in a cool accent, which I liked and enjoyed. And then today Shredberg wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, yesterday, after backlash, Sony pulled the game 5-star, 1,000, top rated from the PSN store, parentheses, the game that advertised itself as the easiest platinum trophy ever. While the game probably shouldn't have been approved for certification in the first place, do you think Sony pulling the game from the store shows that Sony's certification process has little credibility? How can a store approve a game for publishing and then later pull it because the game was exactly as advertised when given to Sony? The answer there is because no one read it. It worked, so they put it up. No one thought about this. And then when everybody talked about it and embarrassed Sony and made them look like fools, they had to respond and take it down. That's the big thing. A lot of kids wrote in about this one, obviously, and were like, see, Sony is paying attention. Sony is. No, they're not. They're making him remove the developer remove the references to it being the easiest platinum trophy. They're saying, don't sell this game based on a platinum trophy. This game will be back up. It just won't mention platinum trophies anymore.
Yeah.
And like, that's the problem. I'm glad that this is there to get more eyes on the issue of, hey man, trophies are fucking weird. Now, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Great games can't get them. Bullshit 98-cent games can get them. Where, what's right, what's wrong? And again, I think they need to sit down and make a rule book, but I still think it is that the amount of times there's these little embarrassing stories, because this has obviously been on IGN and GameSpot and everything else, but Eurogamer was the first person I saw put it up. The other ones were referencing that Life of Black Tiger, how horrible that game was, and all this different stuff. Like, I still think it's back to Colin's argument that there's just too much shit, there should be a gatekeeper, blah, blah, blah. I don't think we have to go that far, but I do think that they're going to go back, they're going to do this. Like, as long as you're not embarrassing PlayStation in terms of your messaging, I mean, Black Tiger's a terrible looking game and doesn't run well and all these different things. That's fine. That's free market. But to come out here and say, hey, just buy this for a platinum trophy, that whoever's approving those things, rubber stamping those, not spell checking them, not grammar checking them, as we all know, that's the issue.
Yeah, I don't know where I really fall on this, because I kind of like, what's the issue with that? If that is the point and people want that, and that is part of the ecosystem that you've developed, is that people want to get platinum trophies. And like, yeah, that's an issue for the people that are like, well, my platinums mean something.
Yeah.
Like, this sucks that people can just get it. But it's like, at the end of the day, who cares? Don't buy this shit if you don't want it. And I don't even see why Sony would need to yank this.
Again, because they're embarrassed. It's not, they don't need to yank it. They're embarrassed. But someone literally has done what I always said they could do, that you could just put this up and fuck around and make money off of this.
It's just weird that then they're allowing them to put the game back, though, because I feel like it should be that overall is embarrassing them. And them putting it back, I just feel like that doesn't solve any of the issues.
It doesn't.
Because there's, whether or not their blurb says easy platinum trophy, all of the blogs where you can find platinum trophies are going to tell you to get this game.
YouTube.com/PS4.
So it's, the messaging doesn't go away. The embarrassment 100%. Doesn't go away.
Yeah, no, this is a terrible way to handle the situation, because it's not, I mean, here's the thing, is that, again, I feel like I love PlayStation, you know that. I think they do great stuff. I think there are tons of great people work there. I think they're moving back towards being more PS3 than they were PS4, where I think that if I'm there, and I wouldn't be, because definitely I'm not the kind of personality and spokesperson they want, I would have put up a post and been like, hey, all right, we've seen the gym video, we've seen the PS4 trophies video, we heard Kind of Funny Games Daily, this game is cheating the system. We're not going to take it down. It's up there. We are having meetings right now to discuss going forward, how do we handle trophies? What is the rule book? We will make that public to you. You will know how this is. We're going to communicate better with our developers, so developers who want a platinum trophy in their 30-hour fucking game but can't get one for some reason understand that they can. You know what I mean? Like, it is the thing right now of like, oh, fuck, how do we fix this in the short term? And the idea is snuff it out. And it's like, well, to the people that know about this kind of shit and care about this kind of shit, it's done. The damage is done.
Exactly. And I just think it's weird, because I don't see this as cheating the system. I see this as using the system. So unless the system changes, I just even kind of feel weird about Sony asking them to change this. And of course, they can do whatever the fuck they want on their storefront.
It's a private storefront. Yeah.
It's
public domain or something.
I don't know.
The thing about this is like, people are pointing out like, all right, cool, they did this. What about My Name is Maya? My Name is Mayo never advertised itself as, hey, fucking pay money and get an easy trophy.
Yeah. It's just weird that is the line.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I just don't see the difference. I feel like it needs to, at the end of the day, either be up to the consumer to make their decisions on what is and is not worth their money.
Sure.
Or it's up to Sony to curate heavily and tell us what's worth our money.
100%.
Because I feel like what they're doing now, it's very clear that's not what they're doing. They're just giving us options to buy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, these people.
And as long as they weren't like promoting this and it wasn't like a featured content on the storefront.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, this is, you know, he's talking about, you know, Tim Getty's always scheming. Like, this is a Tim Getty's-ass move, and it's a Greg Miller move, too, though, of, like, I've talked about it, and I've put it out there, and I still need to hit up some people with a response. I want to make a Kind of Funny dynamic theme, and not, like, this isn't a ripoff, but I'm saying I want to do that, right? If I really had the time, I also would be like, yeah, why don't we make a fucking Kind of Funny app, whatever the hell it is that you put up here, and it's an easy platinum, and then we would advertise it as an easy platinum, and it would say, hey, go to kindoffunny.com, and it would be like, we'd be in on the joke, we'd be like, ha ha ha, and as we told you about it and stuff like that, as we went through development for it. Like, these people just did, this is a totally legit move, and now Sony is like, all right, well, take it down and please remove this, you know? And I'm sure, like, I can only imagine, knowing Sony the way I know Sony and PlayStation the way I know PlayStation. The fucking facepalm. First off, this happens like, oh, fuck. All right. Well, message the developer. Ask him to take it. All right. Tell him we're taking it down. Ask him to remove it. All right, cool. They do that. And then the developer puts on their Facebook page, hey, they took the game down, but they just asked us. I'm sure somebody's like, why the fuck would you say that? Don't say that publicly. We didn't want you to say that's what we said to do. Oh, yeah. Fuck. You know what I mean?
No, that's like, so true.
It's such a message.
I will say, I want to keep an eye on this story. Because I'm very interested on how this game comes back. What it's titled, what it's described as, and what the actual gameplay is. Because to me, it sounds like Sony has more of an issue with the fact that it's being
promoted
as a platinum.
By a platinum.
And the fact that the game is promoting the website than it does anything else.
Sure.
And I want to see if the gameplay changes. Do the tiles change to not be the 4K wallpapers?
No, I cannot imagine that.
Then what is it,
though? I mean, either it's going to come back and just have a whitewashed, like, you know, it's just like, hey, move tiles around and make cool wallpapers, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or it's never coming back.
And
or it's like PlayStation's like, hey, go do this, change this, and they're like, we're never working with this again.
And see, that I can see as a much more acceptable end to this story. Because that at least is consistent with their messaging. Because they're saying, Sony is saying they have a problem with how it's described and the fact that the gameplay is just selfless promotion.
I don't think they're saying, well, I think it's all about how they promoted it. I actually, if they don't let them back on the store, I have a huge problem with that. I don't understand. Then if that's the case, and granted, to be 100% clear, we have not read the toss. I don't know the terms of service as a developer. Maybe there is something in there of don't mention platinums. Don't, you know what I mean? I doubt it. I fucking really doubt it. But if it is that they come back and they made all the changes and like here they are and Sony's like, no, what the fuck are you doing? Then go in there and like put a fucking everybody in Brian's video, basically, or not every game, but most of the games in Brian's video that are like, yep, my name is Mayo, click a million times, yep, skip all the dialogue and Mr. Massage and get your you know what I mean? Like, you gotta, and even then, like, to retroactively hold people to the rules and regulations you're making now doesn't work. They're grandfathered in. They're in the door. This is in the door.
Yeah.
So like right now, again, it's a private platform. You can do whatever you want with it. But right now, to go to... I do think that it's a bad move, and I would not have done it to gone to them and be like, hey, no, take all this out. And if I was a developer, I would have been like, no, we didn't say to do that. But again, it's private, so they can do whatever they want. But if it gets resubmitted and they're like, no, that I have a problem with that, actually. Of like, no, like... That's not how this works unless all of a sudden you're changing your rules and regulations and making known overnight. And again, maybe they already were there. Maybe this was a violation. But if it was a violation, that's the fucking messaging I put out.
Yeah.
I give them the thing and I'm like, hey, right, change it to fucking say Timbuktu is a great fucking country. It's not coming back on the store because you violated X, Y, and Z in gameplay, not in terms of descriptions.
Yeah.
It is an interesting watch. Now I'm fired up. Let it back on the store. I already bought it. I'm going to get the trophy one of these days. Don't worry. What?
You are the problem, Greg.
No,
you
I'm
are
not.
The consumer that it I'm is talking about.
It's a free
about.
Market. It's a free market.
Oh, man.
If I want garbage platinums, I can get garbage platinums.
It's very true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I still want you to play Mr. Massage with Nick.
Okay.
Do it next week when there's like not downtime-ish. Are you even coming in or are you just working from home and all that stuff?
I'm probably working
from home. All right. Well, then you're not going to do it. Maybe Andy could do it with him. Andy's funnier than you. I'm still fired up.
Yeah, I can
do it. This game's been removed. But, Tim, do you want to know what's been added to video games around the world?
Yes, I do.
Then let's go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every motherfucking day, y'all.
Hell yeah.
Nope. Thank you very much. We have two Switch games coming out today.
Ooh.
D-Mambo. I know nothing about it. Do you know anything about
it?
No,
I don't.
And Goner. But it's like G, capital G, lower O.
Goner was one of the games that they showed during the indie presentation.
Okay. And then GameSpot.com reports this. The first downloadable content for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is now just hours away. The Master Trials is slated to launch tomorrow, June 30th, but it'll actually arrive on the eShop a bit sooner, depending on where you live. A Nintendo spokesperson confirmed with GameSpot that the Master Trials unlocks tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 a.m. Eastern, at least in the United States. That means a good portion of the country won't have to wait until Friday to actually start playing. Are you excited for this?
I'm very excited for this because we're going to RTX and I got a long flight ahead of me. Hell yeah. Between that and ARMS, I'm set.
Here's my thing for the RTX flight. Well, because I leave tomorrow. I'm going to Missouri.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see, I'm going to light off some fireworks, eat some CJ's wings in Columbia.
Cool.
Have a good time with Jen. First off, I loaded the Vita with games because she's obsessed with ARMS, so I'm never getting my Switch back. But even if I was, I don't... I looked at it. I'm like, cool. And you know, I love Zelda, but I'm like, I think I'm done. Like, I don't, nothing on there made me like, oh yeah, I want
to
jump back.
To be really honest, this DLC is, in my opinion,
yeah,
completely unnecessary. I'm waiting for the hero trial,
the harder difficulty.
Yeah,
right?
but it's the thing that excites me is that hero's trial thing. The where you, it's just kind of the dungeon, like waves of enemies come and you start with nothing. And
it's like that island that you went to in the real game, right?
It's kind of like that, but I mean, there's just waves and waves of waves.
Okay,
they get progressively harder, and I'm like, cool, I'll give that a shot because it's been long enough that I haven't played Zelda that I'm like, I'm ready to jump back in. However, knowing that later this year we're actually going to get a real substantial update, I'm like, all right, cool, that's what I want.
Me too.
This, it comes as one pack though. You can't buy one or the other. You have to buy both. So I'm like, well, might as well jump in then.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'll be playing Oceanhorn on the PlayStation Vita.
Okay.
Because I'll be, so I'm kind of playing Zelda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of. But I'm getting trophies for it, which makes it better.
Yeah. You should play more ARMS though.
No, it's to the point now, Jen's just too good.
But you should just, we got to figure out, get her a Switch. I know it's not that easy.
Yeah. My hope is that when we drive around Missouri, I'll pop in some Walmarts and see what's up.
Mm.
It's summertime in Columbia. The college kids aren't there.
Summertime.
In the summertime. Some new dates for you for new things. Rick and Morty are coming to Rocket League as customization starting July 5th. Kevin, are you excited?
Yeah.
All right. And then the Lego Ninjago movie video game will be released on Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on September 22nd.
Get hyped?
Get hyped, I guess. Yeah. Here's a deals of the day warning for you. Because it's not today that this deal's happening, but this is a warning. Xbox Ultimate Sale. This is from the Xbox Newswire. I think Mike Nelson wrote it. Starting June 30th, gamers can take advantage of great deals on Xbox games and accessories during the Ultimate Game Sale. This year, the Ultimate Game Sale is 4 days longer than previous years, running from June 30th to July 10th, with savings up to 65% off Xbox games and Xbox Live Gold members saving an additional 10% on the deals. Now's the best time to pick up. Blah, blah, blah. With more than 300 popular Xbox games and add-ons, including Injustice 2, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, Prey, Rocket League, Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare Legacy, and many more. And don't forget about all the Xbox 360 stuff that happened. So that's happening tomorrow. I'm sure you'll have details with Andrea if there's anything really great on there. And then Jared Shu wrote in and said, PSA, Snake Pass is 40% off on Nintendo Switch for about $12. It's a good chance to try out a pretty fun game. Hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Worth $12 for sure.
100%. Snake Pass is a great Nintendo game. Switch. Love those guys quite a bit. You want to check on the readers?
Let's do that.
Okay, let's see. Let's go with, here's what we're going to do. I don't know how much we have to contribute, but it's an interesting one that I think Zeldith 9 is reading too much into. And it's information we apparently missed. It's a long one, so I'm going to take a sip. Say hi to the kids.
Go for it. Hi, kids. How you doing? Hope things are going well. Hit me, Greg.
Zeldith 9 said, during Tuesday's recording of the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show, news broke. Oh, it was during the recording. That makes more sense. That Arkane Studios head and founder, Raphael Conte, was leaving Bethesda. I was surprised you didn't mention it on Wednesday, due in part to the questions it raises about Arkane's futures and the continuation of the Dishonored and Prey franchises. The rise and fall of first-person story-based action shooters, and of course, Bethesda's review policy. Raphael explained his reasons for leaving in a post on the Bethesda blog. Quote, it is time for me to step out and spend some time with my son and reflect on what is important to me in my future. But anyone familiar with the sales struggles of the critically acclaimed Dishonored and Prey titles and the backlash against Bethesda's controversial review policy must wonder if there is more to the story. People really enjoyed these games, myself included, but the sales figures highlight the struggle they have faced finding a large audience. Dishonored 2 was drowned out of the NPD top 10 for both November, its launch month, and December 2016. Prey was beat by the strong debut of Mario Kart 8 and even fell to Zelda Breath of the Wild, which was on its second month in the charts. Time will tell if word of mouth boosted sales during June, but I wouldn't keep my hopes up. Would love to hear what the Kind of Funny crew thinks about all this. I feel like you're reading too much into this one man leaving. His quote, it is time for me to step out and spend some time with my son and reflect upon what's important to me in my future, I think is a very telling quote and a very honest and a quote that cuts deep whenever I talk to a developer. I mean, Bruce Straley from Naughty Dog is currently on a leave of absence, I think for a year it was reported. Like, this is an industry that burns you the fuck out. And so to go from Dishonored to Dishonored 2 to Prey and do all these different things, I don't think it's him looking at the sales and be like, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely night after night weekend after weekend lost to working on this thing that you love and having to reprioritize your entire life, I feel like it does make a lot of sense that you work that hard on multiple titles and then it's like, all right, cool, I do need to spend some time and center myself and decide where do I want to go from here. Do I want to change my job title and my description? Do I want to try something different?
Yeah.
How much do I want to focus on a family and all of that?
And the other thing too is, you know, I think we see a lot of game developers go from, hey, I'm at a giant studio or a big studio like Arkane and I'm working for a big thing like Bethesda or ZeniMax, and they leave that and they like to go start an indie studio and they want to make something. And like, I think the biggest problem you have when you talk to a developer for the most part at a big studio is the fact that they are creative people. You and I are creative people, right? And every day we get to create something and put it out into the world. And maybe it does well, maybe it doesn't, but there's always the next day to do it and do it again. Think of being a creative person and wanting to create content, and you go and you work on a game that, let's say best case scenario is 2.5 years. Maybe it's going to be 5 years of working on the same thing, the same shit, seeing the vision change, seeing it ebb and flow, the long nights of it, blah, blah, blah. So many people, when they leave that kind of development, just want to go and get something fucking made. Yeah. Let's just make a few games. That's why I think you see people jump off and like, they're like, you know, Ryan Payton, who went from doing like Metal Gear stuff and all this different stuff to then jump. He's like, I'm going to do Republic. I'm going to make a mobile game on the phone. I'm going to bring console quality and all those different things. You know what I mean? But like the idea that I can turn that around faster, I can make a game quicker, I can do something there. That's enticing to people. And that's what indie studios give you, right? And the fact that you're able to sit there, have a focus on a project, get it done, and then move on to the next one and not be caught up in this, that, oh, the parent company's saying this, this has changed. Well, now we have to worry about the fucking Xbox One X that just got announced.
Yeah, and I think another thing, too, is there's so much focus put on the top 10, the NPD. Yeah. And like, I think that making that isn't everything. Sales, obviously important. You need to make enough money for the project to be worth it. You need to make enough money to get a sequel greenlit and all this like type of stuff. But I think that it selling less than Mario Kart or Zelda or whatever, it's like that's irrelevant to what their goals were. And we don't know what Dishonored 2 sales goals were.
Yeah.
We don't know that it didn't hit it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know,
we can assume based on what we know, but it was critically acclaimed and it seemed to sell well. I mean, they put it out in November. It's like another example of don't do that.
Sure. I mean, we had Pete Hines in the Gamescast, right? And we talked about this with him of the fact of like, what are your metrics for success? And I think the fact that in the same way we've praised Ubisoft recently, I think we praise Bethesda just as much, if not more, in the way of like, Pete Hines comes on and he's, you know, in charge of their messaging and he's a no bullshit guy. You know what I mean? I'm asking him about like, is Fallout a success in your eyes and all these different things. And he's not giving me like, of course it is. Look at that. Like, he's giving you real answers and real things. And he teased, New Colossus here and all this different shit. Like, he's a good dude. They're all straight shooters. And I think Bethesda is a company that's like, all right, cool. You want another Dishonored? We'll give you another Dishonored because we believe in it and we know there's an audience that believes in it. And I don't think they came in with delusions of grandeur that they thought this one's going to set the world. This is the one that's going to turn it around. Yeah. They knew what that one, I think, was going to do. Prey, I'm sure they wanted to do more. I'm sure a lot of people wanted to do more. But it is, again, that they're making a game that is a sci-fi role-playing first-person shooter mindfuck, which is all awesome on paper, but even me playing it, I was like, oh, this feels very like PCE, if that makes sense. You know, and I don't know if that's insulting, but
I don't know what you mean.
Playing it, it felt more like I was playing a PC game than usual in terms of like, this is Bethesda, I think, where like a Bethesda game that I normally would have passed by, but because of Bethesda's success recently with Doom and Wolfenstein and Fallout, of course, like I'm a Bethesda fan and I want to give it a shot and I jump in there. But even this, just the pacing of it felt like, oh, this is going to go on a long time. This is going to be a lot longer and not, I don't know if I'm in for it. I wasn't. I played a day of it and I was like, this was cool. And I liked what I've played from demos, but I'm not down to invest whatever it is, 30 hours into this thing and do whatever I have to do.
Yeah, our boy Zeldith here also brings up the Bethesda review policy thing. I don't think that affects that at all, really.
If you ask me, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Again, well, this isn't a fact. You can actually fact check me. Let me know in the comments of the YouTube video. Like, the Bethesda review controversy is a controversy to IGN and GameSpot and sites like that. I don't think it, I've never, I don't know of the audience being upset. Again, this might be, I think the twist here might be the fact that PC was so fucked up for Prey. And again, I feel like it was a PC game. Like, Prey has a PC heritage and all these different things. Maybe that meant more to you, but as, you know, console kids over here, it didn't matter to us. I think there isn't a real controversy there. I don't think that affected this guy.
I think there is a controversy, but I don't think that it affects sales or reviews in any meaningful way. Besides, because they get updated by the end of it. Like once they finish the game and once it does work, like we saw with Dan Stapleton's Prey situation, right? Where on PC it was fucking garbage when it first came out, and then it got better, and their review score doubled, I think.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're reading too much into it. I think it's just a guy who's worked at the studio you know more about him than I do, at least two games, or you know what I mean? And I'm sure more than that, honestly, if he's that high on the totem pole. And it's just time for a change. It's time to get out. Like it's a grind, and I think people are ready to go. You never played What Remains of Edith Finch, right?
I did not.
You need to, though. I've heard that. I've told you, Marty and I did a whole spoiler cast on this as part of the Kinda Funny Games cast. You should all go watch it, but especially you, Matthew Taylor, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I'm not going to spoil it, but I just don't agree with you, is what I'll say, all right? He said, there's something in the game. No, I don't want to spoil it. Go watch the games cast with Marty where we spoil it, but I don't agree with you, Matthew Taylor. And that's all I have to say about that.
Great, you don't agree with you.
Just giving it here. I don't talk. Now, here's an interesting little twist of fate. Dave Chardo wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and he wanted us to hypothesize on what Retro was up to. Oh, but you already did.
My
now.
Favorite thing.
What if they're working on Marvel?
I mean, that would be it'd be shocking to me. But read the question. I'm interested in this.
Well, it's a long one. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guys. I've been watching and listening to your work for a while now, and I am pleasantly surprised with the new daily video game format. I am constantly listening. Let's talk Retro, as in studios. After hearing that they are not working on a Metroid Prime 4, I can't help but be even more excited to find out what they are working on. I have a couple ideas. The first, and most likely, is that they're working on a new F-Zero.
The most likely. Get out of here.
This studio has shown how they can take older, beloved franchises and reinvent them for modern audiences. This is exactly what F-Zero needs, right? But my dream, and bear with me, is that Retro is working on a new entry into the Mother series. I know they don't have any experience with RPGs, but I don't think that is important. They are incredibly talented, but more importantly, I think Nintendo has been hinting at a new Mother for a while. They seem to want to keep this relatively obscure series in our minds. The last true Mother game came out only in Japan, on the GBA, and yet they keep talking about it, and they are releasing Earthbound on the new mini SNES. It's time. Question. Do you think a new Mother is possible without Ito, working on it. Can it live up to the hype? Thanks, Dave.
There's a lot of questions. A
lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
First off, are they working on F-Zero?
They're not working on F-Zero. Okay. I would imagine. I don't know.
You don't know. You're not over in Japan talking
to
you.
That doesn't sound right to me. I think that F-Zero will be back. I think Nintendo will bring it back one day. I don't know how. My hope is that Virtual Console comes to Switch sooner than later. Mm-hmm. There is GameCube support, and we just get F-Zero GX,
okay,
the GameCube F-Zero, because it is the best F-Zero ever made. Don't think that they can really beat it. Like, it's pretty much perfection.
Gotcha.
A new F-Zero game, I don't need Retro working on it. Retro, to me, has a certain special something that I feel will really benefit certain franchises and not so much others. I think F-Zero being a racing game, there's not much there that Retro can add to unless they also added some type of RPG element or some type of other style of gameplay to add to the racing experience, which now I'm kind of excited myself thinking about. But answering your question about Earthbound, I think that could work. I don't know that that's what I want Retro to be doing. Retro brought Donkey Kong Country back and did it better than it ever was. And I'm very impressed with that.
Okay.
Retro took Metroid, an amazing 2D series, and brought it into 3D in a way that I can't think of any other franchise besides Mario being done that well. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I guess Zelda. Zelda, Mario, Metroid. I mean, all three of them were a perfect transition. And I think that Nintendo taking the N64 era off with Metroid really benefited them, because they were like, all right, let's not just do Metroid in 3D. Let's rethink about it. And what is the experience of a 2D Metroid game? What is the right thing? And I think the first person shooter adventure game really, really benefited that. But then them going back and doing the two Donkey Kong games was interesting, because it was just the old school gameplay, just made by real fans that grew up with that. And they're like, we're going to do it even better. And they did. I always wanted a Star Fox game for Metro.
Oh.
Then we got Star Fox Zero.
And that killed the franchise.
And it did. I mean, the fact that Star Fox 2 is being like advertised as much on the SNES Mini, I'm shocked by, because I thought that Star Fox Zero was Nintendo shooting that franchise.
Well, I mean, this is them saying, hey, like, here's, if you have no interest in buying it, there's a new game attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. And also Star Fox 2, don't get your hopes up, guys. It's not good. But I wanted a Star Fox because I feel like Retro could have took what we loved about the original Star Fox games and brought it into 2017. Which is what F-Zero or what Star Fox Zero did not do at all.
Yeah,
it just did what they used to do, even worse than they did before, and added a bunch of gimmicky motion controls. So it's all the bad stuff. So what I think Retro's working on, I thought they were working. I had a gut feeling they weren't working on Prime 4, which is why in our predictions episode going into E3, I said that we're either going to see Metroid Prime 4 or we're going to see Retro's game, but they will not be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feeling that Retro was working on a 2D Metroid game, which would be mind-blowing. But then Nintendo announces that they're making a 2D Metroid game, and it's not by Retro. So what is Retro working on now? My money says
Zero.
It's a new IP.
Okay.
I think that Retro has earned the right to make a new IP, and I think that people will be excited about it, and I think that the Switch could really benefit from a super high quality,
exclusive.
People fucking love this thing, exclusive new IP that isn't a Splatoon or ARMS, because as great as those games are, those aren't the things that people, that the gamers talk about in the sense of like, holy shit, Nintendo's doing that. It always comes back to, oh, it's just the millionth Mario game, the millionth Zelda game. I think Retro needs to come with some real, real shit. Although they could be working on Eternal Darkness. They could be working on, who knows, a whole bunch of
things. You got me excited with this Marvel thought. What if they do have a Marvel
season? Honestly, there's a chance. There is really a chance based on how Marvel's doing stuff. It's a little weird to think that Marvel would have betted on the Switch.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that might be a little too good to be true. Retro must have been working on this game for years at this point. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze came out in 2013?
Jeez, I remember, when Steimer reviewed it at IGN, right? Yeah, or played it there. Because Craig Harris was still there and that's all the stuff.
Craig Harris reviewed Donkey Kong Country Returns. He wasn't there for Tropical Freeze.
Oh, really?
Almost positive about that. Positive about that.
Not that he reviewed it, but it was... He was already gone from IGN.
He must have been. If I remember correctly, Craig Harris left right after Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Kindoffunny.com/.
Because I helped him capture the review footage for the Wii version.
Okay.
Returns. And.
Tropical Freeze was Wii as well.
Wii U.
Maybe I'm really wrong.
Yeah. So 2013 was Tropical Freeze, which is a fucking fantastic game. I keep saying it. And since then, they must have been working on something. You know, they
probably have been working on something.
Yeah, and I think that it's a new IP.
Better not be a 3DS game.
It's not.
Steven in Ireland gets the last question today on Kind of Funny Games Daily and says, Greg, I am a fellow Friday the 13th apologist. I'm not an apologist. The game's just good. It's got a lot of problems. I love the game, even though it has a complete mess. It is a complete mess in many ways. It could get worse. It could get worse, and I would still love it, and I don't know how they did this to me. I'm an Xbox guy, so no matter how poor it may appear on PlayStation 4, you can trust me that the fact it's basically a dumpster fire on Xbox One. Yet, I play it every day. My question ties in to the Game Over Greggy Show topic last week. If there was a genie that gave you three wishes to make Friday the 13th better, what would your Friday the 13th wishes be? I can confirm... When the opportunity presents itself, the genie has agreed to the don't fuck with me is an unwritten rule of each wish. If you wish for more servers, that SOB genie cannot turn around and give you all the servers, making it possible to find a game in a whole new way. If you wish for more weapons, he can't spawn 138 different shades of purple feathers littered in cabin drawers. What would you do as head of the next patch beyond Steven in Ireland? I mean, first and foremost, I fix the trophies. These ridiculous requirements are removed. We bring them down to... I don't even know. I mean, because there's reasonable numbers to come down to. 1,313 or whatever the fuck it is, or what the leet, whatever spells out leet. That's not S2, or no, 1313. That's what it is. That's too much. I'm not killing that many people. Maybe in 5 years, I will have killed that many people if they continue to add to this game and make it amazing, which they might, because Friday the 13th is amazing, even though it's got problems. Number two, I would, do maybe, I don't, not more servers, but I mean, the biggest problem I have right now is hosts quitting and ruining the game for everybody because it's peer-to-peer, so it's not dedicated servers. So if you're playing and you quit and you're hosting the game, then none of us get XP. At least give us the XP we get out of that. Mm. And then number three, server stability, I guess. It's not even that. Like now things seem to be running fine. When I was played in the best friends this whole weekend, the problem I was running into is that there was an optional PlayStation 4 firmware update. And if you hadn't done that, when you tried to join, it would all crash out. At least that's what we did, trying to piece it all together on what's wrong. So number three, I would just be like, no, really fix the trophies.
Got it.
And don't fuck with me.
Don't fuck with me.
Tim, are you ready to squad up?
I am ready to squad
up. This one's related to our last question. Jeffrey Guer.
This is the Friday the 13th fan show, isn't it?
Jeffrey. Well, it's a nice transition.
I love it.
Don't you like it? I got seamless transitions. Jeffrey wrote and says, I want to squad up with best friends on Xbox One. I can't stop playing Friday the 13th and would love to play Siege if I had a good crew I could consistently play with. I also have Destiny 2 pre-ordered, so I want friends to do that with too as well. My gamer tag is Jeff the Maverick. Jeff the Maverick. All one word, spelled the way you'd expect it to be.
Maverick is spelled M-A-V-E-R-I-C-K, because I don't think a lot of people would know how to expect to spell Maverick.
You know what? Fucking open a dictionary. Crack it. Isn't that hard? You know? Go to library.
Look, go to Maverick. Library.
You know? Come on now.
Dumb kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 29th, 2017. It is my last show until the Irishman, Danny O'Dwyer, joins me the Monday after 4th of July week. That's too much math for me to do. But it's out there. It's coming up. You'll be here tomorrow
With Andrea Renee.
You'll close it out. Remember, next week there are no episodes of Kind of Funny Games Daily because we're all on vacation. There's a holiday in there, and then we're all going to RTX to work our butts off and meet best friends like yourself. Come see me Thursday night at Heel Kick. Come to our panel Saturday. Look up a whole bunch of different graphics Joey Noel will be putting out about all the different places we'll be in, different things we'll be doing. Please subscribe and rate this show, whether it be on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. We need your support. If you're one of the Twitch people still watching us record this live, thank you so much. Remember, we record it live each and every day, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 11:45-ish. We're usually late, though. I will sign this show off, and then I'll go read tips and subs, and then I'm going out to eat.
It's going to be fun. Today at 4 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be recording the Kind of Funny Games cast over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for everyone watching and supporting at the dollar or above level.
Now this
we're going to be reviewing
there is
Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. It's going to be fun.
All right, so let's jump in and see what we got wrong. Remember, people who are watching live can go to kindoffunny.com/you are wrong. My dog Nick says there is no Defenders game, but in an interview someone has said they want to make one. But then my thing was, so I did ask if there was one I missed. I haven't. Great. I wasn't wrong. And then Mike Jones in this article keeps mentioning as if it's real. I don't think that one applies to what I'm doing. Again, you're all editorializing a lot. Not sure if it counts as a correction. I'm not going to bother reading it. That doesn't help me. Not really a correction. Stop editorializing. Here we go. Lightning Hat says, correction for Tim. Concerning Greg being the problem with the whole platinum trophy ridiculousness from 5-star, 1,000 time, there is no way people who buy the game can be called the problem. Yeah, this is, again, editorializing. What are you saying?
Yeah.
What have we got?
Just proving the point I was making.
Oh, here we go. Here is a real one. A real correction. Thank you. Abrak says, when discussing what game Retro is working on, Greg said, you don't know. You're not over in Japan talking to them, to Tim. Retro is actually located in Austin, Texas. Thank you very much. Real Radic 13, Tropical Freeze came out February 14th, 2014.
2014?
Yeah.
Oh, it was supposed to be 2013 and got delayed.
Our final correction comes from Capitalist Pig, Craig Harris, and Tropical Freeze. Craig's last article, at least according to his name search on the site on IGN, was January 29th, 2014. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was reviewed by IGN on February 17th, 2014. The game came out on the 14th. See, those are real. That's real information. If you start your correction with, well, this isn't really a correction, just fuck off. Just go into the corner and think about what you did. Think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.